views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. And this great Friday, we're having a wonderful, warm feels like summer day in Seattle. Going to be in the 80s tomorrow. Some of us get excited. Other people don't like that. But anyway, it's wonderful to see the sunshine again. And today we're going to talk about how bullying impacts people at the workplace with Dr. Wendy Trainer, and ways you can stop buckling under peer pressure and compromising who you are. So Dr. Wendy Trainer holds a PhD in social psychology and walked away from 3 different jobs because of unethical activity. Wendy is a teacher of love and self-love, cancer survivor, and workplace bullying survivor, turned social scientist and thought leader on being true to you and happiness. And she has a book, Gift of Cancer. It's available on Amazon and also at giftofcancer.com. Now, she says 35% of U.S. workers claim they've been bullied on the job. It's according to Workplace Bullying Institute. And having experienced workplace bullying, Dr. Wendy Trainer has made it her mission to stop the shift by raising awareness of how the negative peer pressure process works. So Wendy says that by our becoming aware of the identity shift effect and the steps involved, we can reverse its effect, come to remember who we are, and create a new and better world for humanity. Now, you can learn more about Wendy and her work and her I Can Heal movement at www.icanheal.com. So welcome, Wendy.
Wow, what an amazing introduction, Chris. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I feel so honored and inspired to be one of your voices here, sharing my story and inspiration and research with your group.
Yeah, and thank you so much for doing this work. It's, you know, it is certainly a topic, especially, you know, you hear about in schools all the bullying and the impact it has, even, you know, teenage suicides and all that. And then, and when your focus is in the workplace, because, you know, it doesn't stop in school. We experience all sorts of things, and maybe it's more subtle in the workplace, but we'll get into that. So first, let's begin with your story, how you were impacted by workplace bullying.
Wow. Okay. I'll start with my story. I graduated from college in 1997, and I took my first job. It was recommended to me. This company was recommended to me by my grandfather. It was considered a prestigious company. You know, it was like well-respected. And while I was in the workplace there, I was asked to do something that I later learned was illegal. I don't know if the people there were doing it as a way to taunt me, like if it was bullying itself, or if that was just, you know, what they would do routinely. But they had me make a phone call to some other company and ask this question, which I asked. And then on the other end of the line, that company told me, that's illegal, you can't ask that. And then I got, you know, mad at the person who was a superior of mine who'd asked me to do that. I said, why would you have me do something illegal? That's not okay. And just to make a long story short, on top of that incident, I had been nicknamed Slummy by another superior of mine for the reason he claimed that I lived in a lower income neighborhood. And so when I'd come to work, he'd say, you know, hey, slummy, in front of everybody and just try to humiliate me. And he'd ask me to get him a Coke and pay for it with my own money, which is, it sounds very minor, but at the same time, I said, no, I'm not going to do that. That just doesn't sit well with me. And then when I did that, he told me, well, you know, you're old school. Back in my day, you know, people who didn't do what we told them to would get subject. I mean, if you want to hear what he said, it's horrible, but he told me. He said that he had, and back in his day, if people didn't listen, when he had been working in New York City, he stripped, I was considered a recruit because I was a fresh person there. He said that he and the other guys had stripped a recruit down to his underwear and then had duct taped him to a chair, put him in an elevator, and sent the elevator up and down in New York City for this poor man to be humiliated for not, you know, getting him a Coke or whatever it was that he'd asked him to do that, you know, wasn't in line with his integrity. And to me, that just felt so heinous and so wrong. And then on top of that, you know, he said, you know, Wendy, if you don't change your ways, you're going to be butting heads with top management here. And, you know, working hard isn't going to get you anywhere in this business. It's not about working hard. Well, what's it about then? You know, and he told me I asked too many questions. And he told me that my problem was for thinking individuality or independence was my right. And I remember being there and someone laughing about working hard. Not working hard. Someone was laughing there about getting paid to do nothing. And it just was a really toxic environment. And what really chilled me to the bone was the fact that this was a esteemed company. You know, this was a company recommended to me by my grandfather, respected by the community. But inside the company, this was going on. And it was such a, you know, place of darkness that I realized that, you know, every day I was coming into work, I was feeling this pain. And I had this moment where I realized if I went along with the group and just did what they said, got them the Coke, you know, did their unethical request or legal request, if I just went along with what they did, they would stop harassing me each day. And then I could be quote-unquote happy. But I knew simultaneously that that happiness would be at the cost of, one, losing myself, to losing my friends and family and everyone who loves me back home, and three, you know, really adding no value to society. You know, it's like bringing our society down into darkness instead of raising it up into the light. And it was when I realized that, it was that the next day I quit my job. I sent in my letter of resignation and I said, you know, goodbye. And I moved, you know, back home to California. This company, I will allow it to remain anonymous because it's not my job to cast blame on anybody, on any person on the planet, because we're all here learning and growing. We make mistakes. You know, for me to hold any person to a past action and to punish them for that is to miss the point entirely. It's about our growth. All of us are here on planet Earth learning and growing, transforming into our best self, which for me is the divine self. We're all divine. We're all, you know, of the light. We came here onto the planet to serve our purpose. As you say in your introduction, we all have gifts here, and our gifts, our talents that we have to share with the world, they're things that not just make us happy when we do it, but it makes the world happy when we share it, and we all have that gift. And for us to just be in a workplace and remain silent and to allow this toxicity to permeate our being and that workplace culture is to only add darkness into a world that is of fullness, beauty, goodness, and light. And so I'm here today to speak out about my story, to share my research, and to inspire you to listen to your inner voice to listen to your heart. And if you find yourself in a similar situation, to get the heck out. You know, we have to take a leap of faith. We have to believe in the possibility. There has to be a better way. And really, faith is the currency that I've used. Faith in myself, faith in others, and faith in the possibility to get myself out of a toxic situation and into a better place. And you can do the same. And as we come together, defecting from these toxic environments, and we come together creating a new positive environment that supports human thriving, together we will come and transform the world back into the place of light that it truly, truly is and can be.
Yeah, you brought up some interesting points, and I just wonder, and I would imagine that in your research, you know, how widespread that's one company, and I'm sure there are many more examples. And some of it is we have to change within. I mean, somehow you had to leave for yourself, and that's correct, you know, and we need to do that. But we also need to be able to have a place, an environment at work where we can speak up and say these truths of things that are wrong, that there's somebody to go to, because it's got to change within these companies in order to change the culture. There's a lot of work there to be done, and how to do that. I don't know if you have ideas on that. How to do that?
Yeah. I can't speak from my research. I can speak from my experience. I have multiple friends, but one of my friends works at a company that is very active about having an ethics program, and they even have a hotline that any employee can call to report anything that's not ethical.
Yeah, that's important. Well, we have to, yeah, and that's very important, and it's good to hear that companies are starting to do that. Well, this is Chris Danis on Voices of Women. We'll come back and talk more with Wendy Trainer.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engage some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and we've been talking about Workplace Bullying with Dr. Wendy Trainer, and she's the author of Gift of Cancer. And so, Wendy, you were sharing your experience, and given that, because of the work that you're doing and how wanting to help people, one of the aspects is looking at why people compromise themselves under social pressure. You know, that whole, is it something because we have that so much in school too, and when we're teenagers, so much peer pressure that we have to, you know, be like everybody else. And does that, is that just continuing this, that, you know, as we go into the workplace, we discover like, oh, I still have to compromise and subject myself to peer pressure.
Yes. Based on my experience, but not my research, which is really interesting. But I can speak the truth of my experience, which is, peer pressure does not end, you know, in junior high or high school or college. It continues on into the workplace. Hopefully, you know, we should do longitudinal research and find out, you know, does it end in old age? I don't know. But I can tell you this. I met a woman who was 104 years old we don't call them old folks homes anymore. What do we call it? At a home for older people. And she told me that even at age 104, she was still getting bullied by people, older people. So I guess it continues on.
Older people than her? No.
no one's older than she is. She's But anyhow, peer pressure is not just for kids. And what's amazing is whether you're, you know, on the playground, in the locker room, in the boardroom, or on the battlefield, I believe that the peer pressure process is the same that leads us against, our better judgment, leads us to engage in behaviors that are not in alignment with our heart and our conscience. And what's really exciting is, you know, I took it upon myself to go to graduate school to do the research to understand what happened when I was working in that toxic environment at age 21. And I went there for a second reason of wanting to understand how people can be happy making others unhappy. After reading extensively New York Times articles about the Holocaust, I wanted to understand, you know, how could we do this to other human beings? And what came out of my research, which is really what I've done now research-wise, is I've taken, just like one would have a needle and thread and sew together patches of cloth to create a quilt, I have taken the needle and thread of logic to sew together patches of research in my field, which I'm a scientist of human behavior. I'm a social psychologist, a social scientist. And out of the major findings in my field, I have used the needle and thread of logic, sewed them together like you would sew together patches in a quilt. And what drops out of this this unification of these different findings is a theory or an understanding that I will share aspects of with you today that not only explains why people become people or why people betray their hearts and conscience under social pressure or what that peer pressure process is, but moreover, this overarching tapestry of understanding, believe it or not, mirrors the tenets of spiritual truth. And that was a very unexpected finding on my part. I was just trying to do science and figure out what's true. But as we, you know, some of us know, truth is truth is truth. Whether you approach it through, you know, inquiry or through science, if you're like me, social scientist, you find a convergence and that there is one truth out there. And I'd be excited to talk about that too at this time. But let me share with you now these three stages. The first stage is, these are the three-step process. I call this the identity shift effect. You can think of it as a description of the peer pressure process, how it works, or you can think of it as a process by which people betray themselves under social pressure. Okay, so step one, we find ourselves in a social setting, and if we experience the threat of rejection for not going along with the group, we're going to experience this as external conflict. So stated differently, when we're in a social group, we may feel social pressure to conform to the group if their standards are different from our own, because we know that if we don't conform, they're going to reject us. They may ostracize us, ridicule us, humiliate us. And we know that if we fail to go along, that they're going to reject us. So rejection is the key word here. And so what happens is, in step one, is we feel that rejection, and then we conform to avoid the anticipated pain of rejection. So we're conforming to avoid, you know, humiliation or social pain. But what happens is, as soon as we conform, if we do that, and not all of us will, but many of us will, then we go to step two, where we now experience internal conflict or guilt, because now we've just betrayed our own standards of what is good, right, and true. So in essence, we've exchanged social rejection for self-rejection by conforming, or stated differently, emotionally, we've exchanged humiliation or the threat thereof for guilt. So we just exchanged one conflict for another, outer conflict for inner conflict. Now, the pain, the inner pain of guilt is so excruciating that in order to get rid of that conflict, then we go through the third and final step of this three-step identity shift process, which is called, I call it the identity shift, where to finally rid ourselves of the self-rejection or guilt or internal conflict that we feel, we end up adopting the toxic group standards or values as our own. So now we're adopting these lower standards, toxic standards, as our own self standards. And when we do that, we undergo what I call an identity shift. And now we no longer have internal conflict or self-rejection is eliminated, because now we're living up to our standards. We just adopted these new lower standards and we're living up to them. So we have nothing to feel guilty about, because we're living up to what we've now have internalized as being good enough or good, right, and true. And then on top of that, we no longer are being rejected by the group, because we're conforming with the group or going along with what they're telling us to do. And so now we no longer have external conflict, we no longer have internal conflict, and now the sky's the limit with the evil that we can do, because we're being accepted for it, and now we've re-internalized our internal standards into a lower set of standards, and so we can now live up to them without feeling guilty about it. So that's the three-step identity shift explanation of the peer pressure.
It sounds like it's, and we do this because of that human desire to fit in, to be part of a group.
That's right. And research shows that the ACC part of the brain, they call it the pain center of the brain, is activated when we're being socially excluded. So I believe, you know, like other scientists, that we were biologically wired to experience social exclusion as excruciatingly painful. It's very painful. And as other people have said, you know, in the old tribal culture, if you were excluded, that was akin to death. So social death was akin to actual death, whereas today we can be socially excluded and still survive. But perhaps that's why today we still experience social exclusion as so painful when we have that experience.
And I wonder if there's personality, you know, there's personality types, A, B, studies and stuff. And I just wonder if there's any research from the type of people who don't succumb, who don't compromise themselves and do this identity shift. Like you moved on. You went, this isn't for me. I moved on. I left corporate world. It wasn't that I had that impact of bullying. I was in clothing design. We had a real fun group of young people. There was peer pressure to just more social, but there wasn't work bullying that I can recall. But I just saw the upper level, the people I worked for were the VPs, and I looked at them and I went, I don't want to be like them.
Wow.
And so I made an escape plan to go all travel around the world, you know, and save money to do that. And it took me
plan. Each in another country, right? You know?
Yeah.
Escape plan. Yeah, you know, your question is really, really good. You know, the research that's coming to mind right now to answer your question is research by a social psychologist named Solomon Ash. He did these studies called conformity studies, or that's what we call them today. And in these studies, he did a lot of different studies. The most famous studies he did were in a classroom where they had like seven people. And as I recall, it was about, I think it was seven Confederates. And a Confederate here is a person who looks like a real participant, but they're not. They're just an actor, okay? So what would happen is they would bring a real study participant into this classroom who thinks they're with seven other participants, but they're actually seven other actors. And then at the front of the classroom would be Solomon Ash, or a teacher, who has three lines that he's on a piece of paper that he's holding up. And these three lines, they were like, you know, vertical lines, like three trunks, but some of them were different lengths than the other. And it was obvious to any person, like you or me, which line was the tallest, which was the shortest. But the surprising thing is, in these studies, is they would have the teacher ask the group one by one, and they would go around these seven Confederates, and then they'd ask the real participant which line is longer or which line is shorter. And what Ash did is he had the actors say...
And we're going to have to find, I'm going to have to interrupt. We're going to have to find the results of this when we come back from our break.
Okay,
so thanks. Thank you.
We'll hang in there.
We'll continue this when we get back from our break.
Okay.
Tune in to the hit show Marketing Masters with Connie Fife, Mondays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. On TransformationTalkRadio.com. Each week, Connie will bring you the best of the best thought leaders from around the world to share marketing strategies and best practices. Get fired up to grow your business with the Queen of Marketing. To contact Connie, visit ConnieFifeSpeaks.com. Tune in to the hit show Masters Chambers with your trusted friend, Connie Fife. Mondays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Each week, Connie will connect you with the best of the best thought leaders from around the globe to share their strategies and best practices. Getting better together. To book Connie, visit ConnieFifeSpeaks.com.
Tune in to Prescience Life Radio with host Mia Simone. Mia is devoted to sharing her extensive knowledge on the invisible worlds of energy. Join Mia and discover the science of intuition and connect with your greatest gift. Start living in your potential today and every day by opening up to the power of inner knowledge. To learn more about Mia, visit PrescienceLife.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Well, we're back on Voices of Women. I'm Christine. We're talking with Dr. Wendy Trainer. And Wendy, you were just sharing this study. And so there were seven people in the room, six are actors. And there's a teacher that from the room having lines that are different lengths. And so continue with the results of this.
Yes. And as I recall, there were seven actors and then there was the participant.
Okay.
So what happens is these lines are, you know, it's obvious which line is shorter than the longer line. But what Ash did is he had each of these, he would have the teacher ask the actors sequentially which line is the tallest or the shortest. And the actors were told to say that the, like, longest line was shorter. You know, it was so obvious to any person watching what they said was wrong. But the fact is, it wasn't just the first actor who said it. So did the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh. And what Ash wanted to see is what happens when that real participant has to go after a group of people who just said something that goes against his heart or goes against his truth. And he found that in like 33% of the time, people said, went along with the group against their heart and said what was false was true. So it just shows you that, you know, we are susceptible to peer or to the pressure to go along with the group. But what's interesting is in his monograph on this work, he explained that he looked at who conformed and who didn't and what were the differences. And what he said was the people who did conform would say things like, when in Rome, do as the Romans. But now what about the people who did not conform? Well, perhaps my research can shed some light on this. In my dissertation research, I studied feeders and stealers in laboratory setting where people had the temptation to engage unethically. And what happened was those who did, we found in that the degree and instance of unethical activity corresponded with the self-report of cynicism or the belief that human nature in general is untrustworthy. So another way to say it is that the most mistrustful or the least trustworthy, as a way of looking at it. And so maybe the people who don't conform are the people who are not yet cynical, or maybe maybe there's another explanation out there. But that's a great question.
Yeah. Well, maybe they have enough self-esteem. They're not afraid to speak up and say, hey, you guys are crazy.
Yeah, maybe it's about self-esteem, or maybe it's about what I would call self-love. And we'll talk about that at the end of our segment.
Yeah. Okay. So then you have some signs that will alert people. Like if you're seeing these signs that that are an example of a toxic environment and could be make you susceptible. So let's go through that.
Yes, let's do that. So yes, I've compiled signs to help you recognize if you are in a toxic environment, toxic work environment. And so let's start here. Here's our first part. These are signs that you are in a toxic environment and may be susceptible to a shift. So if you are the target or fear you're being the target of threat, intimidation, humiliation, or ostracism at work, then you may be in, I would say you are in a toxic environment. Okay, another one is if you dread going to work each day, or if you feel in your core that what's going on at work is just not right, or if you feel immobilized or afraid to speak up at work, these are signs that you might be in a toxic environment. And then signs, now we go to step two, the signs that you may be about to undergo the identity shift at work is if you find yourself uncomfortable when people ask you about what's going on at work. You know, they may say, hey, how's your job going? But you feel so uncomfortable even talking about it. You just don't even want to talk about work. Or if you feel inner conflict about what's going on at work, or if you feel guilty, or if you even if you wonder, should I feel guilty? I didn't do anything, but I know what these other people are doing, and it's just so not okay. You know, you're feeling kind of like this inner conflict, and you'd love to resolve it and just, you know, just not have to deal with this stuff. Then that is a sign, this inner conflict is a sign that you may be about to undergo the identity shift effect, because remember, the way we get rid of it is by adopting the lower toxic group standards as our own self standards. So now, signs that you may have already undergone the identity shift effect. This is the most, to me, devastating part. This is part three. But, you know, rest assured, if you see yourself in this section here, if you identify with this, know, you know, hope is not lost, because here you are. You're listening to this radio show. You're aware of what's going on, what's happened, and now you can take positive action. So do not despair. Signs you may have already undergone this shift. Okay, you tell yourself you have or had no choice about what's going on at work. You tell yourself that anyone would do or not do what you did if they found themselves in your situation. You tell yourself, look, this is just how it is. This is just how the world works. You've kind of, you know, given up. In this setting, you tell yourself, oh, in this setting, you're aware that you're not even living up to what your core values or standards used to be. You know, you never dreamed that you would have to be in this kind of environment. And then the last two signs that you've probably undergone this identity shift effect is you feel like something in you has died. And you feel yourself growing cynical. And just know, you know, even though I escaped that first job, I've had other jobs, and I've had other experiences, and I was able to create these telltale signs because I've had other experiences. And if I am where I am today, which is in a very happy, positive place of love, joy, integrity, you can do it too. I'm here now today. You can do it too. And arming yourself with this awareness can inoculate you against the effects of social pressure in the future, because you can just say, oh, now I see what's going on. Now I see these telltale signs. And now I know I can get out. Okay, so...
I want to bring in a point, because I think one of the issues that may be going on now, too, is when the economy is bad, there's also the fear of how can I find another job elsewhere? I have to stay here because it'll be too hard to get another job.
No, and it's really tough. It really is tough. You have to, you know, take a leap of faith, tell yourself there has to be another way. But at the same time, I don't want to be the person who you point to who says, oh, she told me to quit my job, because it's not about what I say. It's about your truth. So recognize that if you, you know, quit your job and have faith in that better option, know that you may, if you're like me, you have to pay a price for it. You know, I'm not a wealthy rich person. I, you know, don't have job security. I've paid a price. You know, people who know and love me would say, Wendy, you're crazy to leave these prestigious, you know, this prestigious job at the time. I got a lot of heat from people close to me. And so you may experience the same. People who you thought were your friends may think, you know, you're not doing the right thing. So you have to be very strong. You have to go deep within yourself, into your heart, and ask yourself, what is true for me? And if you find that you resonate with the idea there has to be a better way, and you're willing to pay the price to find it, then I say, you know, quit your job like I did and go find it. But if you, you know, have 10 children, you know, you're a single mother, and you're like, oh my God, you know, this is my only income, well, I still want to say there has to be a better way. But for people who do feel stuck in their social settings, I want to offer advice that I've given to my clients and advice that I took myself in my last real-world job, which was to take breaks every 3 hours from the work environment. So my job at that time was in the 9-to-5 world. I was in California, and I would, you know, do my walking, my meditation, my journaling. I did that before I went to work at 9 a.m. each day, and my yoga. And then I would go to work till noon, and at noon, I would leave the office, and I would walk outside. And if you're not in California or Seattle or somewhere warm, then go to a cafe, you know, or go to some exercise studio, but go somewhere else. And when I did that, I would walk, and my walk was a form of meditation, and I would use it as a way to ground myself in the truth of who I am, and to help myself remember my life is not about my work. It's about my self-growth.
Yeah, that's great. I'm going to have to interrupt you again. It's break time, and that's some great advice. And so we'll come back and talk more with Wendy Trainer.
Okay.
Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet, welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Thank you. Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm talking with Dr. Wendy Trainer. And Wendy, you were just sharing about how to take care of yourself if you are having, you are working in a toxic environment. It was good advice to get out of it on your breaks, get out there at lunchtime, do some meditation, and to just, you know, take care of yourself, basically. So we've been talking a lot about, you know, this, people are so impacted by being bullied. So how, what advice do you have for people to heal from that? Because it's you know, it's such a painful thing to experience, no matter what age. Very painful for teenagers and younger people, but it's still painful for us adults.
Yes. Well, it's such a good question, Chris. And I think, you know, my explanation or my answer to your question is based not only on my experience and having to heal myself from experiences of rejection and bullying, rejection, let's just say rejection, because I kind of healed myself by leaving that social situation there. But I've been, you know, as you'll read in my book, The Gift of Cancer, I've had to endure rejection in many different forms in my life. And that was rejection that I had internalized into my own self-rejection. And if you have been bullied and you've internalized that rejection into your own self-rejection, then I have an answer for you of how you can free yourself from that self-rejection and really feel the love and joy you are again. And so what I recommend to you and to my clients, and just as I've done with myself in my own life, is to take silent time alone each day to meditate, work with the body and breath. What we're doing when we take this external time or this time alone with ourselves each day, we're creating an environmental shift, an external shift where we become our own, I call it our own everyday group. It's like we are alone, or we're one with nature. We have stepped aside from the social world. Now we're with ourselves, the non-social. And so what I recommend is that people make the non-social their reference group instead of looking to the social world as a valid source of truth, which it's not. We start looking to nature or the self as our valid source of truth for self-understanding, which it is, which is done through the practice of meditation. And I do it on a daily basis, and I recommend that you do it as well. And so just to speak on this point, I want to make it clear that social group standards are relative, not absolute. So if they're calling you a loser, it doesn't mean you're a loser. It just means they have standards that you're not measuring up to. But keep in mind that standards vary across groups and across time, and you may be cool in one group, even if you're not cool at work. So don't internalize those standards, but it can be hard to internalize their self-rejection. You know, it can be hard to stop that internalization process. But the way to stop it, which I've done myself, is to take that silent time alone each day, meditate, because what happens is, and research shows, that the part in our brain that where self-concept is activated, that part is affected in meditation. And we believe that is responsible for the experience of identitylessness or the sense of no roles, no identity. In meditation, you can feel the love and joy that you are, and you can realize your own wholeness, that you're perfect as you are, and you can even realize what I call genuine self-love, because you realize in meditation, when the chatter of the social mind is silenced and there's no past, there's no future, there's only the present moment of what is, you come to realize that you're whole already as you are. And you come to realize your own divinity or your own magnificence, and you cannot help but love yourself. And you experience your oneness with all, because you realize that you are infinite, not limited. It's only the mind that is limited. So take that silent time alone each day to meditate the blues away, and before you know it, you will come to realize genuine self-love, and no longer will you be dependent on social world acceptance for self-acceptance, because now you already have your own. Is that beautiful or what?
Yes, and so even people sometimes don't know how do you meditate, and it's hard to sit still and meditate. And we just had a thing at a church I go to. They were talking about mindfulness and just being in a quiet place and just, you know how to sit and you know how to breathe, just to breathe. And to let, if thoughts come in, thoughts are going to come into our mind, and we cannot 100% be in a meditation state and not have thoughts. And to just see the thought and let it, come back to center and go, okay, I'm meditating, breathe again. Another thought comes in, breathe again, and just, sit and breathe and have that quiet time. You also mentioned something I think is very important. I just had a day yesterday out in nature, and I was out, I must have walked 7 miles, and in this particular park, there I hardly ran into anybody because it was midweek, and I went and sat by a river all by myself. There was only trees on both sides of the river, and just having that time for myself, you get so many great ideas and clarity about yourself and your life, and you realize that, you can rise above this bullying. What other people think has nothing to do with you. If you could just, if you could just own that, it has nothing to do with me. It's really all about them, and to not take it on. It's not me. And that's what.
Yeah, that is phenomenal advice. Yeah. So that's it, Chris. You've just put it in a nutshell. So, yeah, everyone, let us make the non-social our reference groups, and then we'll come to have a valid source of truth as our reference point for self-understanding.
Yeah, and I think also just to recognize what your gifts are and take your gifts where they're wanted. I remember advising somebody, this was in a spiritual group, and here's a person who's expert in doing a certain kind of work and wasn't being acknowledged, wasn't being asked to participate. And I just said, go do it elsewhere, do it where it's going to be appreciated. And in the end, they came back and asked her to be involved in things because she just built it, somewhere else. And the same thing happened to me is like, don't waste your time trying to throw your pearls or people who don't recognize it. Go where you can be accepted. Well, it was so great to have you on the show today, Wendy.
That's great advice. Thank you so much. It was an honor and a pleasure to be here with you today.
Yes. Well, can you give people your websites again and where you can get the book? And
Sure. So my website is icanheal.com or .org. And the website where you can get the book is on Amazon at giftofcancer.com.
Okay. And do you have a newsletter or blogging or anything that people will find on your website?
I have a quarterly newsletter. And I have everyday inspirational quotes that can go into your inbox. So if you want the daily quotes, definitely join our movement, the I Can Heal movement, because you get those free every day. And if you want to be on the newsletter list, just shoot me a message. There's a text box where you can email me through the website and just say, add me to the newsletter list.
Yep.
And I'll do that.
Great. Okay. Well, everybody, I hope you have a fabulous weekend. I'm Chris Stainis, the founder of Woman of Wisdom Foundation. We had an amazing Pampering Day last weekend, and what's coming up in July is a work on gender, compassion and listening and understanding between the genders at our event that's with the Mankind Project, Woman of Wisdom and Mankind Project, and that's going to be July 11th. We have drum circles. We're in a few places now in Seattle. We have drum circles and women's dances and lots of amazing events. And pretty soon our call for presenters for the 24th annual conference will be showing up on our website next week, and people can start applying and sharing their gifts at WOW to do a 3-hour workshop at our annual event that is the President's Day weekend in February, February 11th to the 15th, I believe are the dates, in 2016. Okay, well, great. Well, have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
Been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.